Muzi Maimane, the leader of Build One South Africa, BOZA, is with us. Well, Muzi, without giving any long introductions, lovely to be talking to you again. You're in a completely new guise. You're in Parliament, back in Parliament, no longer leader of the opposition. Now you are the leader of a smaller party. How's it been in this different role?
Firstly, thank you so much for having me. It's been a very different place to what, as you've described, the previous terms of being in Parliament have looked like. But one of the things I've absolutely enjoyed is not only to be a part in South Africa's democracy of a new transition, as we now have a framework of the GNU, the Progressive Caucus, and if you like, the caucus we're trying to establish, which is almost, if you like, a democratic centrist caucus that will allow parties that share common values to coalesce together. It's been an interesting time from that one perspective. But in another perspective, I've enjoyed being the chair of the Appropriations Committee, which, as you know, the budget that South Africans are so used to having it being tabled, both the midterm budget statement and the actual budget that's tabled in February, has to be processed by the committee I get to chair. So I've really enjoyed, if you like, being in the entrails of government, how government spends its money, and getting an indication of the fact that whilst a conversation can be about corruption, we also need to have an honest conversation about how do we deal with government departments' performance and delivery in this regard.
After this election, we were assured that there would be an upgrade in the talent pool in Parliament. But it's interesting to see how the talent is being deployed with the ANC at 40%. So you've got a big job. Songezo Zibi's got a big job. Gayton McKenzie's got a big job, and so on. How are you finding that the coalescing of perhaps the governors on behalf of we the people, who for so long have been cursing our governors rather than praising them?
Look, I think what is actually more important now is that Parliament, because maybe ironically, as you've indicated, that the building burnt down, etc., numbers matter, but they matter less. In this sense that Parliament doesn't vote on everything almost all the time. What Parliament, in fact, does now is able to, when a new reconfigured committees that now have various members from various political parties, I think actually the seventh administration is well poised to benefit from good ideas and strong individuals who bring sensible policy on the table. I can think practically when I look at some of the issues that are on the table, i.e. the tariff on NERSA that has been proposed of an increase of 44%, that is something that historically would have just simply passed in Parliament without too much discussion. Now, suddenly there's a new discussion, there's a potential agreement across multiple parties to say citizens cannot bear the brunt of previous administrations' failures to safeguard Eskom's finances. And there can be many other issues of that nature. So what I think is happening in Parliament is that it's actually different to when I was the leader of the opposition, that I feel it's more vibrant. I feel much more now that there's far more a degree of uncertainty because no one party can rely on its majority even to pass things that are good or bad for the citizens. And to your point about talent, is that now, because of that urgency to find the best suggestions that can come from the table, I think if you are able to produce those, you can have a better, if not an outweighed voice, speaking into Parliament. And lastly, I think Parliament is a springboard to really speak to South Africans. What I found was my frustration in the previous term was that there was a disconnect, if you like, between the work of Parliament and parliamentarians relative to what citizens were going through. It would feel like as citizens are going through load shedding, Parliament is busy discussing something else. Or as crime is taking place, Parliament is discussing everything but crime. Now, I do think this is an opportunity in the seventh administration for Parliament to take its apex role and its correct role in society.
That's really good news. Not such good news, or is it, is what's been going on in Tshwane. Again, you're an independent voice. You know Herman Mashaba well. What are you making of all this?
You know, Alec, I'll be dead honest. I'm absolutely annoyed and angry on behalf of the people of Tshwane on that issue. The first is that you are finding this almost, if you like, dichotomy between what is a national government of national unity and the role that of what is going on in the Gauteng, if you like, provincial government. And there are two things that are problematic. The first is, I'd like to highlight the fact that in the configuration of the government of national unity, I'm not convinced that the DA has been effective at being able to bring its own policy and policy influence into that discussion. It's become solely, both on party side, a sense of how do we lobby for positions, and South Africans have become accustomed to, now you've got ministerial positions for party A and party B, but what we don't have as South Africans is actually a policy framework that guides who, where we're going and who are the best players to take us through to that. The second is, when you look at Tshwane, the pain that sits here is whether or not you can objectively say, have things gotten better or worse in Tshwane? You know, the mechanism of a motion of no confidence was never to settle political scores, as what I believe Action SA is doing. It was always to give confidence to whether the government was doing the right thing or the wrong thing. And therefore, when you use these tools for political purposes, you not only leave citizens lingering on the sidelines, who they, for many of them, are now wondering who in fact they can hold accountable for refuse removal, electricity, the basic services of that municipality, more profoundly, the crisis in Hammanskraal with water. But you also let citizens believe that actually it's the politics over the people. And I think that the parties there have, I really genuinely believe, have failed the people of Tshwane and failed and potentially have got profound consequences to what happens in that city. What I would really like to see is a cogent plan. It's immaterial in some ways who the mayor should or should not be. What matters is what is the plan that serves the citizens. And secondly, in coalition management, as I showed, in fact, in 2016 to 2019, where the very said Herman Mashaba was mayor of Johannesburg, actually what we tended to do up front was to have a written out contract of the things that should be done in that municipality. What are the things that must be achieved? And when you do that exercise, you make sure that you don't have frivolous political motions of no confidence, and you manage to keep communicating to citizens what are the victories, what are the things that you are meant to be doing, and where you are falling short. I must concede, I find this a betrayal of the people. I find that none of us have been well informed about what have been the updates of governments, etc. Tells you a story that, in sadly, it's the triumph of the politicians relative to the people.
Mm. But how does it happen when you consider that the ANC is the party that's moving the deck chairs around, if you like, and yet at a government of national unity level, it appears to have a good working relationship with the DA in particular, and in this case, it's hijacking what the DA has been trying to do.
I would have thought that by this point, what should have in fact happened is, if you like, the negotiations that are both, and I think the first point that we've got to understand is where the ANC itself sits. My reading of the scenario is that beyond members who sit in executive seats, there doesn't seem to be sure footing around what a government of national unity means. The second is, there has been a moral question about whether a coalition with the DA will be able to deliver the economic outcomes that it requires. In all fairness, nationally, South Africa has been growing at 1% for the last 10 years. It's facing a fiscal crisis as things sit at the moment. And therefore, what in some ways the Gauteng part is trying to prove is the fact that we don't, in fact, necessarily have to only coalesce with the DA in this regard, because the economic indicators, the service delivery indicators, are in fact not heading in the right direction. So without foregrounding all of this grand discussion, whether it's a government of national unity or a grand coalition, with a cogent plan that says, here's what we're trying to address, you end up playing musical chairs of just simply positions. You end up with the headache of the next local government elections ringing louder than what it should be from the principle of saying, how do we establish governments that work for people? And ultimately, I do think that the individuals concerned, both all the respective parties, what is now needed is more a crucial sobering up of heads, understanding what is at stake here, and literally being able to say for the citizens of Tshwane, South Africa writ large, because Tshwane is symbolic, and I don't think we should treat it as a sideshow by any matter of means. We should be conscious of the fact that it is symbolic of what crisis could mean, and that crisis is not born out of issues that people face. It is born out of politics. So I would urge President Ramaphosa to be able to table a plan that works with all the respective parties. Secondly, that we, once with that plan, identify the right players to come into that. Let's find the best mayor for the city of Tshwane. And let's create certain rules that govern coalitions, which are, you can't move motions of no confidence annual. I mean, you can only move one a year, which is true in parliament. It must be true in municipalities. Otherwise, you'll force Tshwane into a revolving door of mayors in the same way as Johannesburg has gone through. And then thirdly, rather negotiate in public, in transparent spaces, what that plan is, what the accountability mechanisms are, so that citizens have got the confidence behind that government. Because my fear is not just the what happens with the GNU or any opponents of that. My fear is that citizens take matters into their hands, and when they withdraw their rates, I promise you our social contract that we hold as citizens and government is the sort of thing that will fail.
What about the rank and file of the ANC? When you say that, as you have now, that outside of the executive, maybe the penny hasn't dropped, that the ANC's got 40%. It's not; it cannot rule the way that it did in the past. But the ANC members, these parliamentarians that you've rubbed shoulders with for many, many years, are they getting that?
I think maybe the first point I want to make, and maybe make it differently, is to say it's not that the penny hasn't dropped that the ANC doesn't have an outright majority. It is that, in fact, the choice as to who you coalesce with could have been made with other players. Now, that's up to the ANC to resolve going forward, but I think that conversation is one that sits. And that is not a small conversation, given the duality of our society, because if you sit in the upper echelons of society and you're market-based, as it were, then the GNU makes sense because in some ways you've conceived it. It suits the market. The currency is responding to it because it is a conception thereof. But if you are an ordinary branch member of the ANC who sits where 4 months ago the people that you were with and leading don't have jobs, and they still don't have jobs today, or crime has increased and you've seen no reprieve on that regard on issues such as extortion, I think you are in some ways incentivized to have a degree of skepticism and wondering whether or not the framing around a market-based capitalist universe can continue to deliver the outcomes that are different to what you are experiencing. That is why I make this very important point, that it needs a cogent plan that not only incorporates the interests of markets, but also demonstrates to the people on the ground who are hustling day in, day out, that this government will work for them. Because the last place we need as a country is to be able to have a discussion amongst, if you like, elites, and ignore the fact that the majority of citizens in this country are still desperate for radical change and are growing progressively impatient and are opting out of democracy, or if they do opt in, support parties that want to produce the sort of revolutionary actions, as it were. So that's the first. Second is, as you've put it, does the penny drop? I think in the main, it's going to be important that the chips are up in the air. How they may fall may not always be permanently a function of the GNU. And therefore, the strategic imperative for South Africa is to say, how do we build that centrist caucus where many citizens sit? Actually, the majority of citizens in this country are desperate for a multiracial, a mixture of market and a government that cares for people, a sense upon which the rule of law applies. But more importantly, that when we send leaders to any public office, they are ethical and are people that we can look up to. That's where the majority sit. We've got to build that voice because the future of this country can't be a declining ANC and an increasing MK, as almost as a seesaw. And that was what we must project the elections in 2029 to be. I think that South Africans actually want that centrist voice to hold. For if the center holds, then the country can move forward. So I think what is going to be important now is that is the urgent project.
But from your own perspective, from Boza's perspective, you came into the party, into the election pretty late, but now you have got another couple of years before the 2026 elections, the local elections. Are you seeing that you're going to be able to, with others like-minded people, create the centrist voice? Are you seeing much momentum there?
I think there'll be more of it. I think I count it an absolute privilege to be able to work in appropriations, and I've been in relatively good relationships with Treasury, the Minister of Finance, and people in the ANC, because the promise we made in all negotiations was that we wanted to be that constructive voice, that constructive, or if you like, opposition voice, but that's constructive, that wants to build. And so in taking upon appropriations, you can be assured that, let alone firstly Boza's interest, but the interest of saying, let's not just borrow money to pay living expenses, to use simple language, but let's borrow money to build infrastructure, because South Africa is facing an infrastructure decay. Let's borrow money to stabilize on bulk projects, whether it be logistics in the country or whether it be electricity or digital infrastructure, because that will help our economy. But let's, in the midst of all of that, make sure that appropriations, whatever rand we spend, is to the benefit of the citizen at all levels of society. And we can, that is what my mantra within the committees and the fight is, and that is my guarantee even to those who sit in the ANC or in any other space. And that's been a privilege to be able to do. But the second bit about that is that, given that we came into the elections and we weren't happy with the result, we wanted to do better, but we think that we've got to remarry democracy back to the people, because the last thing we want as a country is to have a discussion in Cape Town that has no implication for someone who's sitting in Khayelitsha or in Alexandra and Soweto, whatever the community is. You want to make sure that there's always that tangential link, because the 2029 elections must be an election where we see a higher turnout, not a declining one. That would not be a healthy sign for South Africans. And I really am confident that actually between amongst like-minded parties, and there will be others, because in truth, there are some of those who think like we do, even within the ANC, and some might be within other parties. And I think the movement of political players is going to accelerate going forward. And I want to say to citizens, it is a natural part of realignment of politics, is that people will end up in different spaces that you maybe not have expected them to be. But it's a good thing, because actually the chips are up, but they haven't settled. So we are going to look towards what happens to a South Africa that is not led by President Ramaphosa. We have to think about that, because we have to be able to say, whoever the next leadership is, they need to be able to advance our democratic constitutional rule of law. And that is an important project to build. And then furthermore, is in fact, along with many others, trying to say to ourselves, how do we maintain the integrity of the leadership that comes to parliament? How do we keep the rules? How do we make sure that constitutionalism is upheld? That is the job I've got to do. And in that instance, it isn't only reliant on the numbers in parliament, but is reliant on our legal systems and what our citizens are able to do in that regard. So I'm quite excited about it, actually.
So give us a plan, make it transparent, tell the people what you're doing in parliament, and they will come to the party and they will take a greater participation and perhaps reverse, as you said earlier, that declining trend of voting.
I mean, the first thing is to be able to build relations with parties that are like-minded. I think that's important. Like I said earlier, you've got this GNU, which represents 70% of parliament, as things stand at the moment. You've got the Progressive Caucus, which is a combination of the EFF MK, which is about 20% of it. The remainder thereof may seem small, or the third largest component of that, but it's an important component, because you've got to build bridges all across those parties, ensure that its members of parliament at least can have conversations about, here are the things we fight for, and how do we safeguard on the following things. Constitutionalism, which is important, because it's our constitution that has saved us through many instances. The second thing is, how do we, in a centrist sort of way, find policy positions that allow both for market competence and a state that is safeguarding its own citizens, as I said earlier? How do we ensure that there's a rule of law in fighting crime and ensuring that we don't have this extortion and all the issues of state capture that happen both in public and private sector? And the private sector, it might be called mafia state, but it's no different in its pariah-like behavior in the public service. The third is that how do we build an education system that allows, furthermore, and I've been reaching out to the Education Portfolio Committee, dealing with the Minister of Education to say, let's improve educational outcomes all the way through. Because if we do that, GNU or no GNU, Progressive Caucus or Progressive Caucus, we want an educated citizen, and we've got to finance for that. And then lastly, as I've said, in maintaining an anti-corruption stance. So we are building that conversation thirdly. And then from constituency period, as you know, Alec, I've been very strong on fighting for what others confuse to just simply say I'm fighting for independence. Actually, no. In some ways, yes, I want for people to be able to directly vote for their people, directly be able to hold politicians and all public representatives directly accountable. So I'm working at that project, and we are attracting new candidates all across the country who are working in their communities. And now, because the Electoral Amendment Bill has not been changed sufficiently, it will hopefully by 2029, and we're working on that in Parliament, I'm also saying to the people, actually, let's elect the best people. Because when we do that, we can, in fact, stimulate our economy. We can, in fact, hold our leaders accountable. And I'm guaranteed, I'm sure, that we'll be able to see a different electoral outcome come 2029.
Muzi Maimane is the leader of BOZA. I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.